Hello everyone and welcome to our final club preview. We have finally reached the end of this wonderful series and we are kicking it off with Jono today. My name is Willow, your host. Jono, how are you going?
Yeah, I'm pretty good, thanks. I'm pretty excited that we finally reached the end of this series because it's such a long one and it's a lot of work that goes into it, but it's good to get into this level of detail, and I always appreciate once we get to the end of it that we've done it, you know?
I completely agree, and we're now at the stage where the real footy is about to happen. We don't have to think about previews. We'll actually just be looking at our teams, but a team that everyone has been looking at because they are pretty bloody good is the North Melbourne Kangaroos, the reigning premiers, two-time premiers. What a team.
What a team, yeah, and what a 2025 season. I think that's about as close to a perfect season as we're ever going to see in the footballing world because, I mean, sure, in 2024 they were also undefeated, but, you know, in 2025 they took that somehow to a new level and went the whole season winning every single game.
Yeah, and I'm pretty proud to say that the last team to take points off North Melbourne was Geelong in that really random draw in 2024. But yeah, what an incredible team. Won the flag without dropping a game. And they're just pretty good at everything, really.
They are. I think I was just going through some of the numbers trying to figure out if there was anything notable worth pulling out. But geez, it's just everything. They are dominant in every aspect of the game. I mean, we're looking at a team that has by far the best offense in the league. They actually set the record for most points per game last season with 72 during the home and away season. They have the best defense in the league. They only conceded 22.5 points per game, which means that their percentage across their 12 wins was well over 300, which is just absurd. We're talking about the best midfield in the league as well. They've, you know, I think they won their clearances by more than 7 on average each game, and the, you know, possession count by plus 78 basically in the end, which I can't tell you. I think both of those are more than double second best. Like it's crazy numbers to be seeing. And when you look at the personnel that they have, it's really easy to see why. I mean, you look at their midfield, we've got the best and fairest winner from last season and another player that should have won, you know, 3 of them by now. It's kind of outrageous they haven't. Their forward line had 2 players that combined for 49 goals last year in Blaheem Bogue and Talia Randall. And their defense has some of the best one-on-one defenders, as well as some of the best attacking halfbacks in the game. There's not really a position on the ground that you wouldn't go, oh yeah, that player's about the best at what they do.
Yeah, and the team is just so well-rounded, and they just seem to continue to keep winning, and You said it best. They're good at everything, and they're probably just going to keep going and winning even more. So they're on a 27-game winning streak.
Yeah, it's truly, truly crazy. And, yeah, trying to see whether or not they'll be able to do it again this year. Looking at some of their ins and outs, you know, I don't think there's much there that's going to stop them. They've definitely lost a lot of depth players, and a lot of them, you know, players that I think would have been very handy had they needed to step up. So Georgia Stubbs is going to Richmond, Ella Slocum off to West Coast, Ariana Hetherington to Collingwood, Neve Martin to Hawthorn. I think the biggest loss was probably Amy Smith, who's done her ACL after playing, you know, every game last season for them and a big part of that premiership outfit. And then Sarah Wright, after taking the season away, ended up retiring. So that's the outs, I suppose, across the side. But yeah, when we look at the ins, you know, I think they've also brought in some pretty handy players. So Madison Torpy's come across from Carlton and is excellent. I'd say maybe the one line that they didn't have, you know, the best player in the league on was maybe the ruck lineup. So getting additional backup there is very, very helpful. Christy Lee, Weston Turner, former number one pick, ended up walking to the draft and ended up at the North Melbourne Kangaroos. Shauna McElliott, Sarah Wall, and Abby Favell, the other 3 players that ended up at the club. And I'm not sure if we'll see them immediately, given the depth that they already have at the Kangaroos. But, geez, I think we've already seen some pretty exciting signs from them in the preseason.
For sure. And they just have a way of finding incredible players. And one of those incredible players you've already mentioned was Blaheen Bogue. First season in the competition, just goes and kicks a casual 20 goals and is all Australian like they've been playing their entire life. And we were incredibly lucky to sit down with Blaheen for a chat about the North Melbourne Kangaroos. Liam has that interview, which we will throw to now.
Yeah, thanks for that, guys. I am extremely happy to announce that we are joined by 2025 All-Australian forward and possibly one of the AFLW's biggest bolters, Blaheen Bogue. Blaheen, welcome to the Free Kick Podcast. How are you this fine and frosty morning?
I'm good, Liam. Yeah, as you said, it is pretty frosty.
Melbourne is struggling, even if it's maybe slightly warmer by the time this episode comes out. We are struggling through a very cold early morning. Blaheen, you were one of the AFL's best stories last year and one of the biggest surprises. I'll ask you, normally we ask, oh, how's preseason going? I'll ask a slightly different question this time, which is, does this preseason feel any different now that you've kind of gone from having played no games last year to being a core cog in a premiership side for North Melbourne?
No, I wouldn't say it's any different. I suppose I just kind of treat it the same as I treated it last year. Obviously, last year I was trying to break into the side. This year I'm just trying to stay on the side. If anything, I'm probably putting a little bit more pressure on myself, probably being a bit more critical of how my training sessions are going. I kind of wish I knew what sort of, like, how I was going last year compared to this year, because I know sometimes I feel like I'm being a bit too critical. But yeah, just trying to keep it the same as last year.
You clearly had an impression last year, because I don't think any team made fewer changes in 2024 to their 21 than North Melbourne. And round one, you play and you're named to play that first game. You've talked about in other interviews wanting to be like, okay, I just want to get picked for round one and then I want to get picked for round two. Is there a point at last year where you were like, okay, I think I'm probably going to get picked each week. I can now try and build and not need to worry about, you know, when the team's announced during the week?
No, I wish I could say that, but it's probably something I stressed about every week until the week of the grand final. I was kind of waiting for the text on the Wednesday, and I kind of thought, I think I'm in this week. Just after the Melbourne game, and then I'd got the All-Australian on the Monday night.
I think you were so probably set, like, at that point.
I was like, it'd be pretty embarrassing if I'm dropped on the Wednesday. But yeah, that was probably the first game that I was like, I think I'm in the side.
Yeah, that is. I think you are underselling your importance to that North Melbourne forward line. I think there's a whole bunch of questions to ask. You know, your journey from Ireland across to Australia and the way in which you've ended up at North Melbourne is fascinating. The 2024 season, spending it on the North Melbourne list, not playing a game, but being at training for the entire season. What was that experience like? Are there certain core memories from that season that you think applied well to having such a breakout season last year?
Yeah, well, I suppose I came pretty late in the pre-season in my first year, because I was finishing off my degree. So I think I arrived the week before round one, so I knew it was going to be something that, like, obviously I wasn't just going to walk onto a team, and you just sort of had to trust the process of it. But there definitely were times throughout the pre-season where I kind of felt like I was getting nowhere. And obviously being so far away from home, I felt pretty homesick. And when you're not really contributing to a team, I felt like I wasn't contributing. You kind of feel like you don't have much purpose out in Australia. You know, at home I was used to working 9 to 6 Monday to Friday, studying on the side of that, and then going to football training at home. So I was constantly busy, whereas here I was going to training 3-4 times a week, but not actually playing. Now, we had the scrimmages every so often.
That was going to be my next question, actually. What was your experience like of that first scrimmage, which would have been your first, you know, contested AFLW game.
Yeah, I love them. I love the scrimmages. Some people don't like them. But no, I really did like the scrimmages. And probably playing them probably made me realize that I was improving week on week. And yeah, each week I just kind of made a focus of put my best foot forward in the scrimmage, and I knew that like Croc would have been going to their scrimmages and stuff like that. So you're just trying to show yourself there, because it's kind of hard to, once you're in season, it's kind of hard to show yourself in training, because each week you're just preparing for the next game.
That yeah, I can't imagine what that shift would have been like to go from full-time work, study, plus then playing, to then having to contemplate, okay, I'm now a professional, like full-time athlete, and I feel like I can't do anything. It's fascinating to hear that. Yeah, I've heard from different we've when we've the podcast has heard those scrimmages are a mixed bag for some people. Some are very frustrated by the experience and the fact that they've only got two or three teammates in there. Others love them and the fact that it's kind of there as an option during the season. Kind of talking about those, scrimmages last season, were you training as a forward the whole time, or had you been kind of given a whole bunch of different roles and then let's see what stick?
Nope, just forward.
And is that like, was that something that you were, had been identified kind of before you'd come across to Australia to play?
Yeah, so I'm a forward at home. And I think they just kind of seen me as a forward from being at home, and yeah, I just haven't changed it. Like I haven't even got any exposure to any other positions. It's literally just forward.
Well, I ask because I remember having this kind of conversation with Emma Carney a few years back now, and it clearly had worked to identify a forward and then just play them forward when North Melbourne took rookie, sorry, Vicky Wall from Ireland as well. What's it been like at North Melbourne, having had now a few key Irish players on that team? So what Vicky Wall and then Erica O'Shea being two who really cemented a spot on their side, and then last year you were joined by Amy Gavin Mangan. Has that been helpful to your kind of your growth? And are you guys kind of bouncing each ideas and strategies off each other to kind of build your games in that North Melbourne team?
I actually remember my when I first came out, Vicky, she had come out a bit later as well because of her Gaelic season, and we had a meeting together, me and her and one of the development coaches, just going through like structures and things, and she used to put them in Gaelic terms for me, because obviously like I didn't know the language, like you have different ways of saying things over here.
There's a whole new
And
dictionary that you need to learn of
yeah.
like Australian rules specific terms.
Yeah, so she was just explaining everything to me in like Gaelic terms, which really helped. And then obviously Vicky's in the forward line as well, so a training and stuff, she'd be very helpful, or in games, like so helpful. And then Erica, like the speed of her, you kind of know where she's planning going, just with the whole Gaelic thing as well. I feel like we, me, her, and Vicky link up quite well, because you can kind of tell what she's going to do. And then yeah, Amy came in last year, and it's just the same. I actually lived with Amy last year, so we're really good friends. So it's been so nice having her as well. And then Vicky's sister Sarah joined us this year.
Well, you've rather stolen a question I was going to ask slightly later, which was what kind of position we can expect from Sarah Wall. Now we saw some reports from Match Sim yesterday that she was playing across halfback. Is that where you expected to play this year?
Yeah, she would be a halfback at home. So kind of like a running halfback. So probably similar to how Erica would play, just sort of up and down.
That's very cool. Now, in terms of the forward line, you've got yourself Talia Randall, Emma King as a ruck drifting down there. Kate Sheilor, part-time full forward, part-time full back. Is she training in the forward line this season, or are we going to see that split role again?
I think there's been mentions of a bit of a split role, but at the minute she's been playing as a forward. She can also go as a ruck as well. She's kind of a woman of all talents. You can put her
Yeah,
anywhere,
really,
and she can
short.
play high. She can
short,
play a high forward
slow,
too.
all of those kind of things. Yeah, Caitlin Sheelaw has, it's surprising even, yeah, I still remember, I think it was when she was still at St Kilda, going, wow, she's extremely quick. And then you looked at how old she was already. I was like, oh, wow, that's an impressive athlete.
Yeah, and she's still as quick and as fit, and she actually played some on the high line yesterday too, as forward.
Of course,
Yeah.
as you do when you
Yeah.
catch Sheila.
And she just, yeah, up and
And
down.
now this is probably the longest that we've ever done a North Melbourne interview where we haven't talked about Jazz Garner or Ash Riddell as the kind of superstars in the midfield. What's it like being around kind of such noted talents, but also from all reports, such diligent, hardworking people?
Yeah, well, like just as you say, they're like the talents coming out of both of them is unbelievable, and they're so humble in everything that they do. Like they just put their head down, work hard, and like every success that they get, they fully deserve because of how hard they do work. And just as teammates and as captains, they're so good as well. Like they really bring the team along with them. They really bring the energy before four games. Kind of calm us down as well before games, you know, when we're a bit nervous. Because they have that calm energy, so it kind of calms the rest of us down.
Now, I'm reliably informed that that calm energy is counterbalanced by the manic energy of one of your forward line friends, which is Alice O'Loughlin. Am I reliable? Is that correct?
Yeah, Alice is so funny. You just don't know what's gonna come out of Alice's mouth or what she's gonna do. But yeah, Alice is she's a brilliant teammate, and obviously she's a brilliant player. She had a very good game yesterday. So yeah, it's good that she's in good form at the minute. And yeah, I think Alice has a big season ahead of her too.
Yeah, and unfortunately, though, you know, it was the injury to Amy Smith was probably the biggest news out of North Melbourne's pre-season so far. You
Yeah.
guys have a very tight ship, very tight lips about what's going on behind closed doors. If you had to kind of pick someone that you thought might replace Amy on the wing, particularly given how, you know, she's been such a core part of the past 3 or 4 seasons at North Melbourne, who would you be picking to replace her?
Yeah, so obviously Amy is a massive miss, and she was going so well in the pre-season as well. But like we have such a good list that Croc used to say, one soldier out, another soldier in. So I think straight away Amy Gavin Mangan was started to train in the wing. And then we got a replacement player, Abby Favre. That was I think she's playing the wing and inside mid for our VFLW. So Amy Gavin Mangan was actually injured this last couple of weeks with her hamstring, so she wasn't playing yesterday, but Fav played just the wing yesterday, and she went really well. So yeah, there's definitely options there. I'm not sure what way they're gonna go, but yeah, I'm sure Croc is
You've
something up
given
his
us some
sleeves.
great, great detail there. Love to hear it. Like, you know, Gavin Mangan having played in the forward line, maybe moving up to wing, and then, you know, a first year player having played no games. I think you've given us some great tidbits there. Kind of one, or kind of a one final player that I want to talk about, given you've already stolen Sarah Wall as a question that I was going to ask. And that's former number one draft pick, Christy Lee. Weston Turner. Two questions. One, how do you shorten that name into a usable nickname, given it is comfortably the longest name in the AFLW? And then two, where do you expect it to play? Because if you want to talk about soldier out, soldier in, I think Christy Lee Weston Turner could be a soldier in basically all 4 lines.
Yeah, so we call her Westo.
That makes sense.
Yeah,
It has
yeah.
been mooted that it should be the hyphen, given she must be the only player in history to have a hyphened first name and last name.
I know. Yeah, so we're calling her Westo. And yeah, she's slotted in so well. And as you said, she could play along every line, but she was playing yesterday in the half back line and she went really well. So yeah.
Well, that is excellent to hear. Speaking of nicknames, I don't know if you're aware, but blah or blah blah has certainly taken its hold in the AFLW fantasy community. Is that one that you arrived with at North Melbourne, or was one that was given to you upon arrival?
Well, I'd be called blah at home, never blah blah. Yeah, so everyone calls me blah at home, but yeah, I got christened blah blah at North Melbourne, and then it's just kind of stuck.
It is. It was certainly a surprise when we found out about it, but it has certainly taken hold amongst the fantasy community and us here on Free Kick. If in part because you were such a breakout star last year that you were certainly a topic of conversation for all of us. Now,
thank you.
Before I ask the question about who you think is going to be the Blaine Bogue of this year, the blah blah of 2026, I have a question for you, and it's something that I asked Bella Edin last year. Would you rather cop a don't argue from Vicky Wall, or get stared at by Emma Carnes for not passing to her when she was the right option?
I would probably say I'd rather the don't argue from Vicky Wall.
That you'll be happy to know that Bella also took about as long to answer that question and agonized over the response. Now, breakout player for this year, you've mentioned a whole host of names who have really impressed, particularly amongst the forward group. Is, if you had to pick one that you think will break out this year, who is it?
It's not a forward, but I think
even
Taylor
better.
Gatt. Yeah, I think Taylor Gatt.
Interesting. Interesting.
Obviously, she's been playing for a good couple of years now, but I just think she's been training so well, and it'll really be a standout season for her. I think she's really pushing her game to the next level. So, yeah.
That will be fascinating. Yeah. Already comes in with an elite tank year on year by the looks of it. So we'll be fascinated to see what you can do this season. Well, Blaine, thank you so much for joining Free Kick this fine frosty morning. Good luck for the 2026 season. On your current rate of progression, I presume that by the time we'll interview you next year, you will be the All-Australian captain and the league best and fairest if we go from zero games to All-Australian in 1 year. Can't wait to see kind of where you get to.
Thank you very much.
Great stuff there. Jono, what were your takes from that one? I mean, it just sounds like they're going to be pretty incredible again, let's be honest.
I think she's a very humble player, Blahimbo. Really talked herself down at the start for what was such an incredible season. But yeah, it doesn't sound like there's a huge amount of change coming this year, but God, they're just a machine that's been rolling on and on and on. So it's going to be exciting to see them again this season.
They absolutely are. And speaking of machines that roll on and on and on, you have already listed this player as a player who probably should have won at least a couple of W awards. And they're coming into this season as one of the top fantasy prospects. Jono, who's your number one fantasy player from the North Melbourne Kangaroos?
Yeah, so it couldn't be anyone but Jazz Garner. And I think we start here not by saying that they're, you know, a top five value pick necessarily, but definitely one of the most relevant players in the game and someone we have to consider every year. Jazz Garner is, you know, the standout player of the competition and is a massive, massive part of her team every single week. She's already copping a tag every single week. And I think when we look at that 116 average, the $1.24 million price tag, I don't think we need to worry about that because that's already happening, which is just absolutely incredible. But we are spending about a small loan of $1 million to pay for Jazz Garner. So when we're looking at this as a pick, we really need to consider, you know, is there any value at all? And can she back it up yet again? So looking back at 2025, there are two blights that really stand out. The former was a 51 against Fremantle. And that's the reason Willow stepped out of our midfielder episode earlier this year, just to have to avoid talking about it. But we've caught you here on the North Melbourne one. But that 51 was an ankle injury early in the second quarter. So a 51 at that stage, she was well on track to another 100 plus score. The latter was a low score of 69 against Essendon, which, you know, was from a full game, but in an absolute gale and under a very, very, you know, good, intense pressure effort from the Bombers. So I think those two scores are fair enough blights. But geez, removing those two, her average last season was actually 128.6 with low scores of 106, 116, and 117. It's everything that you would want from a top scoring premium player. And with everything that's been going on at North Melbourne the last couple of seasons, there's no reason I see them changing her role drastically. And, you know, played in the Oz V Island All-Star game, captain of Australia, best on ground. I really have no concerns about picking Jazz Garner this season. I think if anything, she's likely to exceed, not just back up her average of 116.
Yeah, firstly, thank you for reminding me of my season last year. That was heartbreaking, the 51 in that second quarter, because that trade basically ruined my season for the second year running when a player who I've traded in has gotten injured very early. But the fact that her average was 128 without those two scores, I think the 69 we can, you know, brush aside. Everyone has a lower game every now and then. The other one was injury affected. I honestly think there's no reason to not pick Jazz Garner. As you said, like, people are like, oh, what about the tag? It's like, it doesn't matter. It's Jazz Garner. She's scoring 120 with a tag. Like,
yeah.
I don't think there's any reason why you shouldn't pay up for Jazz Garner, to be honest. I think the way the midfields are this year, there are four very clear high-scoring midfielders, and I think that you probably need to have at least three of them, and I think Jazz Garner is probably my number two player behind Ebony Marinoff. But there is another player who averaged a very, very high amount in the midfield who also plays for North Melbourne and is coming off a pretty incredible season herself.
Absolutely. This is Ash Riddell, who had an incredible 2025 season and ended up winning the AFLW Best and Fairest Award. She's priced at $1.297 million after averaging 120.9 last season. Nobody accumulates the footy like her. She had 532 disposals, which is, you know, her own disposals record and the league's disposals record. Absolutely incredible. Also set records for meters gained with 6,608 meters, uncontested possessions with 317, and a whole bevy of them was, you know, second or third across the league. The real concern that I have is sustainability, because the numbers she was putting up last season are so incredible. So last year she averaged the 35.5 disposals, which is by far her best. Her next best was 29, but she's done that on three occasions. So I feel like that is probably closer to what I would expect as sort of her norm. She also ended up having a career high fantasy average. It was about 10 points higher than her next best two seasons. In part, we could explain this by her time on ground did go up last season to about 85%. But if you look at her previous seasons, most of the time it is in that sort of 78 to 81 range. So I'm just not sure we're going to be able to back that up. When you look at the previous AFLW Best and Fairest winners, I suppose usually this may have come down to, you know, maybe copping more tagging attention, which with Jazz Garner and the team is pretty unlikely. But generally we've seen a drop off in points the following season. So I'm just going to go through our last four winners there. Ebony Marinoff, after winning in 2024, ended up dropping her average by 15 points last season, you know, from 143 down to 128, but, you know, don't worry about that. Monconti dropped her average after winning in 2023 by an additional 10 points in 2024. Ali Anderson is one who actually increased by 9 points, but she won in 2022B or season 7, depending how you want to frame it. And it was 2023 that we started seeing the longer games. So I think that 17% additional time on for everyone is probably responsible there. And then Emily Bates, winning in 2022A, ended up dropping 12 points in her average the following season. So I'm expecting a little bit of a drop-off. I don't think it's enough that, you know, we need to worry about it. So, yeah, will Riddell still be a top 8 mid come the end of the season? Of course she will. Will she still be a top four mid come the end of the season? Almost certainly. Will she average more in 2026 than she did in 2025? I have some serious doubts on that.
Yeah, I think that probably is the only flag. It's a lot of money. We've talked a bit about it, but it's a lot of money to pay for someone that we suspect might average less. At the same time, a 10-point less average is still 110. That's a lot of points. So I think that's the trade-off you kind of need to have is, are you going to use that money elsewhere And if you do that, are you still going to get the points that you're looking for? I think that's the question in my mind is, are you going to spend that money somewhere that's going to get you the same amount of points? I currently have Ashradell. I'm quite comfortable with her averaging 110 to 115, but I can definitely see the argument for not picking her in favor of someone that's a bit cheaper that might push up towards that average. But gee, it's a big gap.
And, you know, I'm not necessarily saying she's going to drop off 10 points like we've seen all these other best and fairest. North Melbourne could just carry on in their way. It's hard to see the upside is my only hesitation here.
Yeah, I think 120 is probably like the best she's probably going to average. I can, as you said, definitely see that happening again. If she averages 120, great. You just leave her in there and that's all you need. Moving on to your number three. This one is going from possibly the most consistent scoring player in the league to someone that's just a little bit rogue, and it all comes on the back of the Amy Smith injury that has given an opportunity to someone, let's just say is one of the lesser lights at North Melbourne that could come into their own this season.
Yeah, absolutely. So Amy Smith, as we mentioned at the top of the episode, is out for the season. She's done her ACL. Very, very sad. She is a terrific endurance athlete and had career best numbers in 2025. And I think is a really important part of that North Melbourne side. She actually hasn't missed a game in the last four seasons, going back to 2022. I think when she missed one game for concussion. But in her absence, you know, it opens up a role for somebody to step into. And from the looks of it, another Amy, this one being Amy Gavin-Mangan, seems to be getting first crack at the role.
Yeah, it's a fascinating one because they have already got quite a few players that have run through that sort of role. We talk about, you know, Tess Craven and Taylor Gatt, but at the price that Amy Gavin-Mangan is, if she can even get sort of half of the points that Amy Smith was able to put up, that's a bargain.
Yeah, yeah. So she's listed as a forward in the game and is priced at just 392K, coming off an average of 36.6 last season. But yeah, I was pretty impressed by her debut year. Last year was her first year in the side, cracked into the best 21 of a premiership side, which I think is very impressive, ended up playing the 7 games across half forward. It's her pace and agility that are just absolutely incredible. And I think, you know, there's so many Irish players that are now line breaking across the team, and Gavin Mangan's just going to add to that. Moving up onto the wing, I think in terms of what Smith brought and what Gavin Mangan's, you know, qualities are, I think they're quite different. But in a trio alongside Tess Craven and Taylor Gatt, I still think it makes a lot of sense where you've got, you know, Craven's got this, I mean, all of them are incredible runners, but I think you've got Craven who's got this ability to kick really, really well and a really hard defensive work ethic, whilst Gatt and Gavin Mangan are probably more about the line breaking, pacey runs. And so I think the combination's still going to work quite well. And in the practice game, we saw Gavin Mangan have 65 fantasy points, which I think she was sort of her and Abby Favell, who's another debut player for first year in the side. I think they were sort of competing for the role. They were both playing a bit of time there, but it was really Gavin Mangan that had the better impact on the day. So ended up having the 17 disposals, 4 tackles. We're talking about Amy Smith averaging the 74 last season earlier. As you said, if she can get just half of that or, you know, an extra 10, 15 points on her average, I think that's really going to help, you know, any fantasy coach that started with her this season.
For sure. Could be a bargain there. Moving to another player in the forward line for us fantasy coaches is someone who has previously been something of a premium in that forward line, but didn't quite reach those same heights last season, but could be an underpriced player worth considering.
Yeah, absolutely. This is Alice O'Loughlin, who is another forward for North Melbourne, priced at the 574K and an average of 53.5 last season. It really was not too long ago that we were talking about O'Loughlin as a fantasy premium in our forward lines. It was 2024. She averaged 65 basically for the season, but started the year with 370 plus scores to really get off to a fast start. The issues really came last season. Firstly, there was Blaheem Bogue joining the team, and I think having the two of them in that forward line, you know, Lachlan's kind of gone from the first and foremost small forward in the team to having to share that role. But it was also later in the season, in round six, she ended up having a pretty horrific injury with a lacerated liver, which, you know, really derails your season. She only missed the 2 weeks, which is an unbelievably quick recovery, and came back with a really impressive game, scoring, I think it was a 77 in that one. But after that, some really floor scores. She had a 25, a 36, and a 57 in her last 3 games of the home and away season. And I really think if you have an injury like that, which is, you know, kind of around the middle of your body, it's particularly for a player like O'Loughlin, who's so physical and really puts her all, you know, I think she's really got no regard for her body at all other times. It really makes you question diving into contests. We've seen similar injuries in the footballing world, not necessarily in the W, but Christian Petrarca, Finn McGuinness are two players who, once they'd done their kidney and liver injuries, you really saw them take a step back for a little while and have to rebuild their confidence. And I'm kind of expecting that was what was happening with O'Loughlin last season. But I got to say, this preseason, she's looking back to her bullocking best. She had the 81 fantasy points in the practice match against Essendon, 17 disposals, 5 tackles and 2 goals. I really think we can trust her health. The question now is, you know, she's still sharing that role with Blaheen Bogue in the forward line. And Bogues have had such a terrific season last year. There's no way that she's not going to play as the deepest forward. I think O'Loughlin's probably going to have to push up the ground. And so we're going to be looking at scores based on, you know, accumulating disposals, marks, that sort of thing, more so than the goal kicking that has probably been the basis of a lot of her big scores in the past. I think she's going to beat the 53 average. It's just how much is the question.
Yeah, and I think, like, the end of last season, as you say, like, coming back from that injury, I think, yeah, it's a tough one because we know how good she can be. It's just whether you trust that high-scoring role is still there. It's North Melbourne. Their forwards are always going to have a look in, and it's probably a reason why you've got another North Melbourne forward at number 5.
I do. I really think that if you're in for a good year, the ball's just going to be living down forward. It's the place to look for value. The third player I've got here is Vicky Wall. So another forward price at 522K. She's one of the breakouts I think we've been waiting on for the last few seasons. And I have a feeling that this is going to be the year. So early on in her AFLW journey, she was still bouncing between, you know, football, but also Gaelic. And she was often missing the preseason. I think she ended up missing a whole season at one point as well, just because she wanted to be, you know, playing for her home side. Last season, in fact, I don't know if you remember, she missed round one because Darren Crocker specifically said, "I'm rewarding the players who were here over the preseason," and Wall had to actually, you know, earn her spot back in the side. So I think the fact that she has this season stuck around and she was there on day one of preseason is a really, really exciting thing for us. She was there day one and actually ended up coming third in North Melbourne's time trial to start the season, behind Erica O'Shea and Taylor Gatt. And honestly, anyone who beats Ash Riddell in a preseason time trial is having one heck of a preseason. I think that's a really exciting thing. The reason that I think she's been here, and this is probably a silly conspiracy theory by me, her younger sister, Sarah Wall, has joined the team. And I really believe that when you're an older sibling in a team, it changes how you are. I think there's a multitude of factors here, but basically you start to look at yourself as a role model, and those little things that it takes to be a professional athlete in the AFLW, you start to take more seriously. Your eating habits, your training habits, your attitude on field changes, because, you know, you're no longer looking at yourself as, oh, I'm new to the sport, I'm trying to figure it out. You start trusting yourself as the established and confident player. I really think that Vicky Wall is going to have a big season this year. She's hit the ground running in the preseason match we've seen so far. She had the 85 fantasy points against Essendon, which is actually her highest across any game that we've seen. I think her previous best was a 76 last season against Sydney. And she also had some terrific moments in the Australia-Ireland match that we saw last weekend. I don't know if you saw that bump that she laid on Ella Roberts, but that's not one you bounce back from very quickly. So I'm excited by what Vicky Wall can do for North this year. I think they're going to be taking that forward line to a whole new level with these players.
Yeah, it's an exciting option. And as you say, the fact that she's been there all that preseason really bodes well. And we know how talented she is. Definitely a player that could present some value. I was considering putting Sarah Wall as my host special just to say, we know how good Vicky is and we know how good the North Melbourne team is at pulling out Irish players. But I didn't go for Sarah Wall. The player I've gone for is Christy Lee Weston Turner. I think this one's more of a speculative one, possibly for a mid-season pick.
Mm-hmm.
Listed as a forward, only 261K. So basically very close to bottom price for a player that we know is super talented. Never been a huge scorer, only scored 21 points in the one game that she played last year. But I think the important thing here is if she plays, she's playing for North Melbourne. And playing for North Melbourne apparently just means that you're automatically really, really good. The other thing that does catch my eye is she's been training with the back line at North Melbourne. So that's a bit of a role change to what we're used to. Had previously been playing mostly a sort of a rangy key forward sort of role, not a great fantasy role. And even though I think North Melbourne's a pretty hard team to break into, a former number one draft pick like that is too good a player to just sit in the back in the VFL for the entire season. And I think that even if she does is a depth player at North Melbourne, I think that when/if she gets a game, I think it could really be a good downgrade/sideways trade. And if they are playing off half back, that is a very fantasy friendly position.
Yeah, and one thing you've got to give North Melbourne credit for is as much as their team is so incredibly set, they have found ways to add in new players every season. So, we saw Blaheem Bogue last year, Tessa Boyd as well. Erica O'Shea feels pretty established, but it was only a couple seasons ago we were talking about her as the breakout rookie of the season. You know, I do like that they keep evolving, and Weston Turner, or Westo as they call it, could be the one.
Yeah, and I think, you know, she's a player that can play through the midfield, has played across forward, the forward line, and could be an absolutely outstanding, you know, backline player. She's always been known for her speed and her ability to take marks, and those are two things that really go well for an interceptor/dashing player such as Erica O'Shea. So who knows? Could be a really interesting pick, one to watch out for. I would probably suggest against starting her unless we see her named round one. But at that sort of price, that is a downgrade potential option waiting to happen. So I think we'll leave it there, which means I think we're leaving it there for our review series, which is very, very exciting. That means we're actually getting into the real stuff. Round one is just around the corner. You will be watching the first game of the W on Sunday, which is super exciting. Jono, do you have any final thoughts?
Yeah, I'd say one of the big things is we'll be doing an on-air at some point this weekend. So definitely tune in for that. It's very important to know which Carlton and St Kilda players you have locked away in your side before that locks in, because they will lock in and you won't be able to change that. Whether you have them or whether you don't, that'll be locked in from Sunday. So make sure your teams are in order. Otherwise, I'm excited that next week's episode, we're getting into a regular week one episode.
Absolutely. Very, very excited for that. Keep an eye out for all the final words from us. All of our articles and episodes will now be available to you, so you can do your last minute prep, your last minute cramming to make sure that you are prepared, have your team ready for round one. But until then, this has been our club's review series, which is very exciting. I've been Willow, you've been joined by Jono, and we will catch you next time, hopefully after the first game, and you've done really, really well, depending on which players you picked.
Thanks, everyone. Bye.
See ya.